Studio 360.
Almost every breakup song has some standard elements: defiant lyrics, bold vocals, and a message about being better off without him or her. Some songs, though, are so full of heart and so memorable that they're not just about love gone wrong, but about life in general. To tell the story of one breakup song that has become the anthem of the genre, we've got a writer.
My name is Vince Aletti. In 1978 and 79, I was the disco critic at Record World magazine.
And the singer.
My name is Gloria Gaynor, and I'm an international recording artist and performer.
Aww, freak out. You freak, say she, freak out.
Disco was an underground phenomena for, I'd say, 5 years before anybody seriously above ground paid attention.
It certainly seems that more and more Americans are getting more and more into the disco scene.
It was a club phenomena. It was created by DJs as a way of sustaining a whole evening of music by playing records end to end.
It brought about a kind of camaraderie that we hadn't seen in club goers, and it was a very positive, upbeat time.
Some of the records that were popular around the same time were Chic, Grace Jones, Sylvester, who was one of the most out gay performers at that period, and Donna Summer.
Looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening.
Women have always been the strongest vocals in disco.
The one thing that disco music never got credit for is the fact that it is the first music ever to bring together people from every nationality, race, creed, color, and age group.
I never can say goodbye. No, no, no.
Never Can Say Goodbye was Gaynor's first really big hit. But she'd kind of slipped off the radar at the clubs.
The record company had said they were not going to renew my contract. I'd been in hospital. I'd had surgery on my spine. I was thinking about the death of my mother. I was thinking about the fact that I had been paralyzed from the waist down. People were going around the company saying the queen is dead. And there I am laying in hospital wondering what's going to happen with my life, hoping to completely survive. And while I was there, the record company called me and told me that they'd gotten a new president over from England, and that where I was very popular, and that he wanted me to record this song called Substitute. Heard the song, didn't particularly like it, but I didn't care. They weren't ending my contract. I still was a recording artist. I was happy to go and do it. I get out to California with the producers, and I ask them what's going to be the B-side. And they asked me what kind of songs that I like, what kind of songs that I like to sing. And I said, well, I like songs that are meaningful. I like songs that are strong, that touch people's hearts, that have good melodies. They said, mm-hmm. We think you're the one we've been waiting for to record this song that we wrote 2 years ago. And they scribbled the words down on a piece of paper, and I looked at them and said, what are you, nuts? You're going to put this on the B-side? This is a hit song. This is a hit lyric. It's a timeless lyric. Well, they said, maybe it'll get a chance one day. I'm like, if I have anything to do with it, it's going to get some play. It's going to get noticed now.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along.
So we recorded it. We took it to the DJ at Studio 54. We gave him a stack of them to give to his DJ friends around New York. They began to play it. People began to request it in the club. And then they began to request it on radio, because now they want to hear it on the way home. They want to hear it on the way to work. And the radio station started calling the record company asking, where is this song that we keep getting requests for? And the record company had to say, with much chagrin, you've already got it. It's on the B-side of that other song.
this was a huge comeback for her. And it was also such a strong record in what it said and how people responded to it. There was the sense of real fury in her, but also determination and survival. I think first it was a women's anthem, but it was, you know, around this time that people became aware of AIDS. So for the gay community, a song called I Will Survive gave people a sense of determination and hope.
This song taps into the tenacity of the human spirit and just pulls up from inside of you whatever it is that gives you hope, whatever gives you strength, whatever gives you courage. You tap into that when you hear that song.
And I think that's why it lasted and why it's still an anthem. It's something that went well beyond the idea of spurning a boyfriend. People want to sing that refrain.
You know, I look out at that audience. I know they're going to love this song. I know that it's going to empower them. It's going to inspire them. It's going to uplift them. And that gives me all that I need to go out and perform that song every single time.
That song came out right after I was dumped in a big-time way. I Will Survive was inducted into the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress this year. And our story was produced by Devin Strolovich for BMP Audio.